And I want to talk about three principles of prayer tonight. Three principles of prayer. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. And keep it up. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. And keep it up. And it's easy to remember. And Hebrews 4, Jesus the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. It's a wonderful imagery, isn't it? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. There's a caution there, isn't there? Let me just put that out there tonight. Are we holding on to the faith that we profess? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Key verse tonight. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isn't it amazing that we have a God who is available, a high priest that is available, a God who is sensitive and empathetic to our needs and is approachable? Incredible, isn't it? That's a sermon in itself. Frequently, people say, and say to me and say to others, that God answered my prayer. Have you said that? God answered my prayer. I've said it this morning just standing there to somebody. God answered my prayer, or prayers. And usually what they mean is that God granted them whatever they had requested, either for themselves or for other people. But let me say this, that God always answers the prayers of his children. He always answers. But his answers aren't always yes. Sometimes his answer is no, or wait. The Royce Driscoll puts it later. But they're all answers just as much as the answer yes. Think of Paul pleading with God, coming to the throne of grace, pleading with God to remove his thorn in the flesh. I think he asked three times from memory. Probably a painful illness, but God's answer was no. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 10. God had something better, a path leading him into a deeper dependence on God and his grace. Or think of Jesus praying as he faced the agony of the cross. I love these first words. If it is possible. That's humility, isn't it? We were talking about that this morning. Great humility. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Matthew 26, 39. But God's answer was no, because there was no other way for our salvation to be won. God knows far better than we do what is best for us. Thank God, even when he says no or wait, his answer is always perfect. Prayer moves the heart of God. Where there is no prayer, there's no power. Prayer breaks up ground. It advances on enemy territory. Prayer is a powerful weapon, and prayer changes things. And prayer is a gift of God. And the enemy wants to come and steal what is good, doesn't he? He's a thief. He wants to steal those gifts of God. And prayer is a wonderful gift that God has given us to communicate with him. Our prayer also needs to be consistent and persistent. Paul says he wrestles in prayer. Do you know, I couldn't find where that verse is. It's in the Bible somewhere, though, isn't it? Paul wrestles in prayer. Just imagine the imagery of two wrestlers. It came to mind when I was just preparing for this. Wrestling prayer. It takes great endurance, great strength. It's tiring. There's a time investment. Sweat, toil and tears to pray. He wrestles in prayer. I love the story in Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow, and you'll be very familiar with it. And Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's the point of the parable. Always pray and not give up. It's a lovely, lovely picture there. This woman who will not give up, keep battering and battering and battering until she got an answer. We tend to pray once, and then maybe twice, maybe three times, and then we sort of give up. And then we're reminded again. Somebody might remind us, pray for so-and-so. Oh, yes, forgot to pray for them. But this story teaches us, this parable teaches us that we need to be persistent and consistent as well. So with all this in mind, I thought I'd just very helpfully, hopefully give you some good stuff to sort of take home with you. These three principles of prayer. As we approach the throne of grace, as we as individuals in our own private prayer times and corporately approach the throne of grace, the first one, keep it honest. Keep it honest. It's best described in Luke 18 again in verse 10. And again, it's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You can just see him, just even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's that humility thing again. Isn't that incredible parable of a guy who was really new where he stood before him and God? You can't hide anything from God. He was honest, dead honest, truly honest. He was genuine. He was really real. Come to him so that we may receive mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. One of the most well-known Psalms, 51, Psalm 51, David's Psalm, just read it to you, is an incredible prayer of honesty, gut-wrenching honesty. And David's heartfelt prayer of honesty out of the place of sin. I love it. And it's a prayer of repentance, really, isn't it? Boy, how we need to repent more and turn around from our sin and not do it again and be obedient to what God tells us. My prayer tonight for us here tonight is that we wouldn't just be hearers of what I've said, but go out and actually do it, actually pray more. And I'm speaking to myself here, to be prayers, because prayer changes things. We're so good at, how many sermons have we sat through? I was trying to work out this morning, how many sermons over my life have I sat through? And how many have I actually applied in my life? I won't give you the answer. But David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth, honesty in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Surely you desire truth. Surely you desire honesty. We need to be honest with God. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. Matthew 6:7 says, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Are you guilty of babbling? I am, sometimes. Sometimes we put on our prayer voice and we become a bit pharisaical, don't we, in our prayer. But Scripture says, don't talk with loads of words. Keep it simple. The Lord's Prayer is the model prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Use arrow prayers, specific prayers, sincere prayers. Have a life of prayer, daily prayers, hourly minute. I find it very hard to concentrate for a long time in prayer. I'll be honest. I get distracted. I start thinking about the dinner that's on. I start thinking about what I'm doing in an hour's time very, very quickly. And I'm an arrow prayer person. I like to be praying consistently and persistently during the day, quite often. But 2 hours of prayer doesn't fill me. Ali, she's very different. She can spend hours praying. It's just the way we're wired up, we're different. But let's keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. Last one, keep it up. Remember the persistent widow. Always pray and don't give up. And Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests." And Philippians 4 is one of my favorite verses, actually. It's a wonderful verse. "But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." That's the key, with thanksgiving. Do you know, thanksgiving is the antidote to worry, along with prayer and petition? Because worrying is a sin, isn't it? Do not worry, do not be anxious. So if we're worrying, we're fearful, so we're sinful. Scripture is very clear that we shouldn't worry. Thanksgiving is an antidote. We're thankful. So do not be anxious about anything, not some things, nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Come to the throne of grace, where there's mercy, where there's grace. It's a wonderful verse, that. So the thanksgiving's the key. Keep it honest. Keep it simple. Keep it up. Who finds prayer easy? Anyone find it really easy? Is it got the gift of intercessory prayer here? I don't know, gift of praying. You're all too modest tonight to actually admit. But most of us struggle. And the reality is, the devil doesn't want us to pray, does he? He's going to give us all sorts of distractions. Downton Abbey. Oh, we've got a few people in who like Downton Abbey. There's distractions. TV, internet. We've got so much to distract us from actually taking time out to pray. Sometimes I've had people say, "I'm too busy to pray." Well, I normally say, "How many times do you go to the loo a day?" You can pray, can't you? Scripture memory verse is the one they normally say. Oh, I could never learn scripture memory verse. That's the classic. But God gives us the ability to go to the loo 3 or 4 times a day. We can stick that verse on the back of the door and we can learn it. There's no excuse. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can learn scripture. And actually, learning scripture, why do we learn scripture? Why do we need scripture in our heart? Because scripture says, "Your word have I hid in my heart so that I don't sin against you." So therefore, logically, the more sin that we have in our lives, the more scripture that we have in our lives, the less likely we're going to sin. Would that be logical? That's what scripture says. So keep it honest, keep it simple, keep it up. There's a wonderful verse in Deuteronomy. I've never noticed this before, but it basically says that when we pray, God's presence comes upon us. Deuteronomy 4:7, if you want to look it up later. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. God's presence is with us when we pray. And Scripture always says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Tim mentioned actually earlier about where two or three are gathered. And I love that. Where two or three are gathered, because it reminds me, Sean, you need to be praying. I'm really grateful working here, because I'm made to pray. If I can get out of praying, sometimes, like filling forms is the other thing I find get out of doing. Hate filling forms in. But sometimes, I know in my sinful, selfish life, prayer is one of the things I really struggle with. I can witness about my faith. I do fellowship. I do Bible study. I can read. I can learn. But prayer is the thing that I really have to work on. But where two or three are gathered, you're forced to pray in a sense. It's a wonderful thing when you come and can pray together. Prayer vehicles in staff times or in elders meetings or in prayer meetings on Thursday nights or even tonight, to be able to pray, be together and pray is a wonderful thing. It really helps me. And I find acronyms really helpful as well. You know, little things like keep it honest, keep it simple, keep it up. I find that really helpful. I find arrow prayers really helpful, knowing that I can just shoot up a prayer and God hears me. I find that really helpful. I find teaspoon prayers, TSP, thanks, sorry, please, really helpful. I find Acts, ACTS, really helpful. I find the Lord's prayers, the model prayer, really helpful. They're all the things that really help me pray. We all need help to pray, don't we? Because we get distracted. But you know, what happens if you're on your own? Because if Scripture says where two or three are gathered, there's a promise, isn't there? Where two or three are gathered, and I think on agreed on earth, I will... So I can't remember it myself. You know what I mean, don't you? But actually, I was really amazed by this, because I was thinking that Jesus is interceding for us to the Father. The theologians among us might correct me in a moment, but he's interceding for us to the Father. And the Spirit, let me read this. This is incredible. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So if we're on our own, we're actually with two or three are gathered. Because Jesus is interceding for us to the Father, and the Spirit is helping us pray because we don't know what to pray. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever thought of that before? So there's your two or three if you're on your own. I just think, well, it blew my mind. But I just think that's incredible. God's good, isn't he? He just is amazing how he brings his in. It's Romans 8:26, actually, if you want to look that up. So there we are. Keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up. And what I'd really like us to do now is actually practice what we're preaching. Actually pray. And that's novel, isn't it, in the Baptist church. We're going to pray. And do you know, I think there's something... I was just standing there when we were singing earlier. I thought, well, actually, it'd be really great if we could just all come forward and as a sort of sign of coming to that throne of grace, just all come here. And then we're going to do acts. We're going to just adore God. We're just going to love him. We're going to tell him how much we love him. And then we're going to confess. And then we're going to thank him for all the things that he's done. And then we're going to ask, please, prayers. Lord, will you do this? Are you with me on it? If you want to pray, you're up for praying tonight. You're actually moving out your Baptist seats, the comfortable seats, and coming forward to the throne of grace. And let's really pray that God's going to answer our prayers. We have an amazing God, a God that loves us, a God who died for us. I've been reflecting, I was just sharing with Tim earlier, just this whole thing, how God sees us, the Father sees us righteous. We think we're rubbish, don't we? Well, we are. We are sinners, but we're also saints. But our Father sees us through Jesus. It's filtered, all our stuff is filtered through Jesus, and we're seen as righteous tonight. Whatever we've done. It's incredible, isn't it? We have a wonderful message. So let's come forward now. Let's move. And I just wondered, Katie, if you could just tinkle the ivories a little bit, just, or anybody, and as we pray, if that's okay, or Annie. So come forward. Let's just, that sort of sense of moving forward to the throne of grace where we're going to seek God. And I'll move us on into the section. So we'll start with thanksgiving first, adoration, and then confession. Do you know, I always find the confession one is where everybody goes quiet. We don't like to confess, do we? Yeah, we can do the adoration, we can do the thanksgiving, and we can do the pleas, we can do our shopping list. But when it comes to confession, but Scripture clearly says, confess your sins to one another, doesn't it? And there's something very, confession's good for the soul. So let's adore God. Let's just lift our voices. Be quick to pray, okay? Don't wait and pause. Let's just shout our prayers up to God.